All right, buddy. Free agency is right around the corner. So much to dive into with the Nets. Hit us with the beats.
I'm too excited to wait. We've got the possibilities of trades and sign-in trades that could have and have already fallen apart potentially, plus where the Brooklyn Nets are going to look to find value on the market, what players on the current roster, fan favorites from this past season, could potentially be heading out the door for bigger paydays and greener pastures. It's jam-packed. It's locked and loaded. And friend, I just can't wait to dive in.
Oh, we're going to cover it all. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn, yo.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Doug Norrie, owner-operator, DFSR.com. If you need a projection for FanDuel and or DraftKings, head on over to DFSR.com. Football season right around the corner with that. And speaking of that, that's Adam Armbrecht, the host of the One Giant podcast, talking to New York Football Giants with his boy Andy Mack. He's also the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster. Buddy, how are we doing on hours away from free agency officially starting?
The eve of it all going down, man, I'm doing well. We think some things are going to happen, potentially involving the Brooklyn Nets. And before it even kicked off, it feels like, and this is league-wide, really, but a lot of rumors kick up. And now before free agency even officially starts, and maybe some of these things are going to go through, a lot of them have been debunked that we're going to get into later in the show as well. But this is, as you said, I think a couple episodes ago, there is no offseason for the NBA. This is arguably, for some teams, more exciting than the season itself is the promise of what could be.
hope springs eternal. I mean, the NBA doesn't even let you catch your breath because it feels like, you know, I mean, it really was 48 hours ago-ish. We were just talking about the draft and being excited and saying we're going to get into, you know, some of these other Nets draft picks because we talked a little bit about Cam Thomas and Darren Sharp, but we didn't get to the other guys. Because we're like, oh, yeah, we'll push it till next week. And then you kind of, you know, come up for air for a few minutes. You're like, oh, right, well, you can't do that because now we have NBA free agency starting. So we'll have plenty. It does kind of calm down a little bit after this. Free agency is an absolute sprint. And then once the sprint is done, we all kind of collapse to the finish line. And you have time to, take a look back at all the stuff that's happened. So that's kind of our plan for the next couple weeks is to go back through the draft because we want to talk about all these other guys that they got, and we want to go back through even through Sharp and Thomas a little bit more. I've got some guests coming on to talk about them. And then we're going to have to react to whatever happens here at free agency, which the official time for NBA free agency to start is Monday. So we're recording this Sunday night. You'll hear it Monday morning. Monday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. is when it starts. Now, the funny thing about NBA free agency – go ahead.
No, because I was just going to ask you before we get into it of free agency starting. I was just thinking about, like, for Chris Paul or guys that went on deep playoff runs, like, we're talking about it as people that are covering a team or as fans being, man, you don't get to catch your breath. How do you think that hits on, like, on certain free agents where, you know, the impact of what just happened in your season is literally, you know, a couple of weeks old and you're already making decisions around the future? Like, it seems like it is a whirlwind. And I if it's hard for us to cover it, I can't imagine what it's like for Chris Paul to be making a decision around, am I going to go back to Phoenix or do I think I can go somewhere else? How much do I care about the chip versus what I established here with some of this young roster? Like, it's a lot to sort out in a relatively, not that you're, you know, committed to the second that free agency starts, but it's a lot to absorb if you're a veteran player. And then especially if you're a young guy on like your second contract looking for big money.
Yeah, and these teams, and like you said, they're finishing, and they have different arms that handle this stuff, you know, different arms that handle the draft and then kind of handle free agency. Ultimately, it all comes down to the GM, but the part where this all kind of just gets piled on together, yeah, this is a really pretty constricted timeline. Now, one of the, you know, funniest slash like most known secrets in the NBA is while free agency officially starts at 6 p.m. that's like when teams are supposed to be allowed to talk to players. Everyone knows that just doesn't happen at all, as evidenced by they were a little bit better about it last year because it was the year where KD and Kyrie signed. It was like free agency starts at 12. 12:01, they signed max contracts with the Brooklyn Nets. It's like, well, that was pretty quick. Like, considering you were only able to start talking to them 30 seconds ago, and now all the details of the contract are hammered out. I think they've kind of tightened that up, because I remember last year, free agency wasn't as... Like, that one year, it was just a full sprint. Like, everything happened in the first hour. That was not the case last year. So, anyway, the Nets go into this free agency. Not as much, you know, we're not sweating out the superstar piece of it. That's pretty much locked in stone. We got the draft taken care of. They filled out some roster spots, but there are some questions to answer here with the Nets. And I think there are some things that we're going to want to really keep an eye on for how they play out here on Monday. And I don't know if all of it's going to get solved right away. I very much doubt it will. But where do you want to start? I guess we can start here with like where we stand here with Spencer Dinwiddie as of right now.
Yeah, I think that's the one we talk about. Already information in the wind there. The Wizards make the trade with Westbrook going to the Lakers. Back comes Kuzma. Back comes Harrell. And then there was immediately this sense of, and this is just a stepping stone for a sign and trade with Spencer Dinwiddie to the Wizards, and then Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell making it to Brooklyn. And now it feels like that's far less likely given what's feasible for other teams and Dinwiddie maybe getting to the market. Would that make sense to you from a Brooklyn Nets standpoint now that it seems like it's not going to happen? I know there were a lot of fans that were pretty vocal about how they felt about those two players coming over in a trade. Would something else need to be involved there for you in signing and trading Spencer Dinwiddie away, draft capital additionally? Because it's not like Kuzma and Harrell are massive needle movers. I think I like Harrell, I guess, in his role better than I would want Kuzma, but the money's not insignificant. You'd be taking back, it'd be almost, you know, north of $22 million that you'd be taking back in their contract. So that seemed odd from a lot of different angles, even when it was kind of getting speculated.
I never really bought the smoke on all that. It just didn't seem to make sense. Now, I will say at this point, kind of getting anything back for Spencer Dinwiddie is paramount. Like, letting him walk for nothing, and you're not really letting him do anything. It's like, if it just works out with wherever he wants to go and where he's going to sign with, and if they want to do a sign and trade, it's all things have to work out that don't always, you know, happen along the way. It's usually advantageous for both sides to come to some kind of even pre-signing the actual contract, post-announcement, deciding on some kind of sign-and-trade because, the money gets advantageous for the team taking them and whatever. But the Washington thing really never made – I just never thought the Nets were going to be able to take all that money back for starters. Bobby Marks made a good point on Twitter where he was saying, too, about like just about why the Nets don't sign Dinwiddie outright. Even around, I think the number was like $20 million or $19 million, to re-sign him was going to cost the Nets like $87 million because of the tax, right? So it's like, okay, well, what is the point at which you really can't do something, right? So from that standpoint, right, like not re-signing him made sense. The Washington thing, you know, KCP was part of that trade too. His name got kind of tossed around as coming back. All those are nice parts. You take any of them back probably. I just never thought the money was really going to line up, and it just seemed sort of like more wishful thinking than anything else. So
that it was possible that, because I know some people have different perspectives on Kuzma, but I almost thought, well, if you could do the sign and trade and Dinwiddie, it's a good spot for him. He goes and plays with Beal. Okay, great. I wouldn't have been shocked then, though, if Kuzma and or Montrezl Harrell were going to be moved by the Brooklyn Nets to offload, and maybe whether it's assets for down the road or there's a player you like out there more and you can make some parts move. Because again, the money itself, I think, has to play a factor in all these speculations. And if you're sending out a $20 million player in Spencer Dinwiddie, it's going to cost you $87 million and you're taking back $22 million, it's going to create the same type of financial problem. So I wondered, that was the only way that I thought maybe it made sense. If only one of those two guys was actually going to stick around with Brooklyn, and then you'd look to, again, get something else, move another piece, and see what was possible. But I guess that being the case, it seems like it's not going to happen either way. But it's hard for me to fully invest in a lot of these speculations, because everyone seems to be willing to say that going into luxury, it shouldn't be a big deal. There's fans that say outright sign back Spencer Dinwiddie, pay the money. But we said it last time, there has to be a threshold here. There's a breaking point where $87 million for $20 million is just it's a bad business decision, and I don't think Joseph Tsai is that type of guy.
No, I don't think he is either. And the indication is that's just not going. This is not going to happen. I think probably in the end, My guess, if I had a guess now, is that he signs somewhere else, they do a sign and trade, and they open up a trade exception. And that's just like a best guess. Right. Like, there's a lot of moving parts with this stuff. You really do need to follow all the free agency stuff. This is why guys like Bobby Marks are so good at it. He was a freaking GM of the Nets, right? Because you need advanced almost degrees to be able to follow all the movements and all the, you know, what every little move does for every team. It's just a lot. It's a ton of stuff to follow. You can follow one team, but and you can do your very best at it. In the end, it's an incredible spider web of kind of like stuff that happens with these teams and financial, and that's why they have whole teams of people on their staff that are trying to figure it out. And then some, you know, like the Kings, still can't figure it out like on a year-to-year basis, where they just continually make mistakes with this kind of stuff and let players walk or get caught with like weirdly tampering or just like whatever. So it's hard even when you're a professional at it, I think. So there's a couple different things that could happen with Dinwiddie here. I think a lot of this stuff, and I think we both agree, is sort of like pipe dream material when it comes to Nets fans. And I just don't think a lot of that stuff's going to happen. All right, we'll get to all the other free agency stuff that the Nets are thinking about here. First, I'm going to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. All the flavors on Built Bar. You're never going to believe this is an actual protein bar that's actually good for you. Cherry Barcia, for you deadheads. Raspberry, mint, brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. Not ice cream flavors. Actual protein bar flavors covered in chocolate and really, really good for you. If you want the stats, 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories in that 130 to 180 range. That's a sweet spot, folks. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all super tasty, all healthy. Maybe you want to grab the Thin Mint-like Grasshopper Cookie. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team over there at the Olympics. You go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at Built.com.
Okay, so basically off of that, really, the situation with Spencer Dinwiddie, and if we believe that it's going to be a sign and trade to somewhere else, or that one way or the other, he's not going to be a member of the Brooklyn Nets, there's now the idea of who else might the Nets bring in to fill out the backcourt a little bit, bring in some depth, obviously. One of the names that's been circulated is Bryn Forbes, formerly of the Milwaukee Bucks. I have my thoughts on him. I mean, what's your knee jerk reaction on the idea of bringing him into this roster?
I mean, sharpshooter, really good 3-point shooter, will really help you during the regular season. We talked about this sort of with the Cam Thomas thing. There becomes something of a logjam at guard, sort of, but not really, because we talked about how Kyrie and Harden, you can't really guarantee you're going to get full seasons out of those guys. They do have Javon Carter now. I know Forbes is more of a shooting guard than he is a point guard. He feels like very Landry Shamet to me, much better shooter, but like I don't know if he's doing a ton else for you. Nice to have. You can't really probably break the bank for him. You can probably never have too much 3-point shooting, again, especially in the regular season. He had a couple playoff moments. I still would be surprised if they did it, I think, but I know that, yeah, like if you read through some of the rumor trees, I think Brian Lewis reported this from, the New York Post, my bad, I was looking at something else. Brian Lewis from New York Post did post something that was a rumor. It doesn't knock my socks off. I still kind of would be surprised if this is the kind of player they went after. And we also know that there's lots of guard minutes to fill. So, wouldn't be shocked by it. Imagine they go crazy with the money. And he's just one of this like sea of guys. I mean, there's so many unrestricted free agents here. Some guys that are coming off down years too that you can probably have for a cheaper number. I know the rumors are there. Sometimes you wonder who kind of floats this stuff. It just doesn't feel like a Nets move to me, but that's just me, you know, kind of just throwing darts at the dartboard, because it is sort of a guessing game. I don't think they do it.
As first reported by Bryn Forbes, the Brooklyn Nets are considering bringing in Bryn Forbes. I don't know where it comes from, but I will say, to your point, the sharpshooting is nice. I think pre-drafting Thomas, then maybe it makes you look at this a little bit differently, because I do think by all accounts, what he's going to bring to the table, you can have him come in and do that immediately. You're not going to have to build him up to that because you're not worried about what he does defensively. So you already have that piece there in the backcourt. I would go, and then the combination of what the cost would be to bring in Forbes. A guy like Patty Mills, I may have read somewhere around there that there could be a team that'd be interested, the Brooklyn Nets, that is, in Patty Mills. Going to cost you less than Forbes will. And if you think about his skill set and what he brings to the table, he's still he's not an as good, but he's a respectable three-point shooter, 38% this past season. Does it from the free throw line as well, over 90%. So if you want to have that combined with the defensive upside, because Forbes is less than a zero on the defensive end, whereas Patty Mills is basically a balanced guard at both ends of the floor. He's not going to light the world on fire. He's 32 years old, but I think he kind of fits that demographic for where the Nets are going to potentially be hunting in free agency. A veteran guy, relatively low cost, and someone that you, when he steps on the court, I think you very much can say, we have an expectation for Patty Mills, and 95% of the time, he's going to meet that. He's not going to exceed it a ton, but he's always going to give you what expectations are, and that's what I think the Nets need more than anything else at any of these positions on the roster.
Yeah, I think they're going to I think if we're looking at who they're going to target, they're going to target veterans, like maybe veterans coming off some down years. There's definitely some guys that qualify there. I mean, before we even get to those guys, too, you got to talk. Like, just remember other things to keep an eye on for Monday. Blake Griffin, unrestricted free agent. We talked about him, about where he's going to land. We think that he ultimately re-signs here, but he's still an unrestricted free agent. Jeff Green, unrestricted free agent as well. Kind of got to see where he lands. I think if between the – well, which I have an opinion on this. Between those two guys, do you have a thought on who's more likely to re-sign here? I kind of have a feeling here. I wonder if you mirror where I'm sort of thinking with this one.
It's weird because Blake Griffin is still owed money from Detroit. So, you know, technically it's not a factor. I don't think you can really put a lot of weight on that. My question with him is, he liked doing the dirty grunt work this past season, but it was also kind of reestablishing himself. So now, if there's other teams out there, if there's more money to be made in a more prominent role, does he still think he's a 25, 30 minute a night guy? Because we talked about him having a reduced role going into next season. It was almost out of necessity, not out of design, that he played as much as he did. Jeff Green, a guy who's played for all 30 teams in the NBA at this point, I think that there's a payday out there for him potentially. And unless he's really married to, you know, doing it with these guys and the championship, that sort of piece of it, there's a world where he can stand to make a significant additional paycheck on his career that he maybe otherwise wasn't going to be able to do. So, you know, it comes because you were here in Brooklyn, but maybe you're only going to be able to get that somewhere else, again, given the restraints that the Nets are going to have. So I would say it's more likely that Blake comes back because I think he's fully bought into that role, and I think that he wants the championship, and he's already made a ton of money in his career.
I totally agree. I think that, and Jeff Green has made it.
I hate when you come back and say total disagree, just because I'm like, oh man, that means all my instincts were exactly off. Oh no.
My instincts in the moment about what's going to happen usually aren't always reflective of what actually happened. So I wouldn't worry too hard about that one. But Green's been really vocal that he feels like he's been underpaid throughout his career. He's probably correct. He's come in and been a solid contributor for a lot of years for a bunch of different teams. And he just keeps signing these veteran minimums year after year. It might happen again. It probably doesn't help that he was hurt like right when it probably mattered the most at the end. Not his fault to be hurt, but the plantar fasciitis kind of creeping in right at the last thing, right in the last game. But I think that he probably goes and tries to squeeze a few extra dollars out of someone else, and he is worth it, and I hope that he gets as much money as possible. My guess is it just doesn't really line up with where the Nets are. I'm with you on Blake. I think that he kind of found his niche here. It'd strike me as weird to have him kind of go out and try to find that niche somewhere else, but he might, you know, get a little fountain of youth kind of came his way this season, and he might also look at that as saying, hey, I kind of resurrected my, at least, you know, I'm not the max player that I walked away from and was bought out of in Detroit, but I'm also not a guy who made like $750,000 from the Nets or something like that at the end of last year too, right? And he's not going to make that. That was just kind of like the rest of the contract. So, yeah, I think in the end we probably see Blake back, and then we And we probably don't see Jeff Green, although I'd really love to have Jeff Green back again because he was just he was great for the Nets this year. Just no doubt about it. Few other housekeeping things to just throw out there before we roll through some possible other guys. The Nets did not extend. So we talked about this last week. The Nets did extend a qualifying offer to Bruce Brown. So now they wait and see where other teams land, if other teams are going to give him an offer sheet. And we're just in the Bruce Brown waiting game right now, right? And it'll be interesting to see where other teams land. Two other guys they did not extend qualifying offers to. They did not to Mike James or Chris Chioza. So those guys are unrestricted free agents now. From the Javon Carter move, it doesn't look like they bring either guy back. Any final thoughts if this is the last time we saw Mike James or Chris Chioza in a Nets uniform?
I mean, listen, Mike James, good story last year. I don't have any real attachment to him, so that's fine. Chioza, he's been around, right? He's been a part of this team. He's been a plucky member of the pre-superstar era for the Brooklyn Nets. So, listen, I hope that he catches on somewhere else. I think that he's a guy that can have a role somewhere. Doesn't concern me from a Nets standpoint, I guess, first and foremost. You're not losing anything there. He was an adventure. Let's put it that way. I think he could do a lot of good things and could also be a real zero for you on the court. So it's interesting that, you know, from one year to the next, this is the Brooklyn Nets trying to refine these players around them. And you very quickly see guys that some that had bigger roles or lesser, you know, swept to the side. And by the way, one last footnote, Pear Bear, Reggie Perry, he got his offer as well. So he's a restricted free agent. I just that because you drafted him. You know what I mean? You drafted him last year. Keep him around. You want to see if he can develop. So good that they're bringing him back as well. But most of these names, I'm not surprised by it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Does Tyler Johnson fall in there as well as far as him being unrestricted?
He just is an unrestricted free agent. They didn't have to make him a qualifying offer. He's been in the league long enough,
right.
So okay. He's also an unrestricted.
And he'll be gone
agent.
As well. There you go.
Yeah, correct. Sorry. I should have mentioned that. It was just that they could have extended qualifying offers to the two other guys. Tyler Johnson, he's like in that Jeff Green group, right? He's like, but he kind of just gets forgotten.
Right, right.
He gets forgotten because, I don't know, it's Tyler Johnson and he didn't really contribute that much to the team, and I don't know. So sorry, TJ. So it feels like we just took a lot of real random pot shots at guys that are on their probably way out of the Nets. We love all you guys. It was great watching everybody. Not everyone can be on the team. What I do know is neither Adam or I will be on the team too. So everyone, if those guys ever listen, know that obviously you're better than all of us. So because you had a chance
Same
to be
boat.
On the Nets, we just only get a chance to talk about it. All right, gonna roll through a couple guys that are interesting names to maybe be on the lookout. For the Nets over this free agency period. First, our friends over at Bet Online. You have to head over to Bet Online for the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Obviously, NBA has wrapped up here. Baseball in full swing. NFL right around the corner as well. You know, Bet Online is going to be absolutely packed with action, player props, money lines, everything you can sink your teeth into when it comes to NFL. Before the next pitch, before the next kickoff, head on over to Bet Online. Check out all the great news, sign up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's your chance to get into the game over at Bet Online. Head on over to the website. You can sign up for free, but you're going to want to make that deposit. And when you do, grab a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON, 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so kind of in this spectrum of all these things, you mentioned Bruce Brown before. He's out there. Does someone make an offer? Are the Nets going to match? How much money is that going to occupy? There's still also the rumor about trying to move off of DeAndre Jordan money. I don't know how achievable or realistic that's going to be, but that would impact what's available. You know, Blake Griffin, upwards of close to $6 million. That's where it would cap out for the Nets. So that could represent an amount of money. And I guess theoretically, if Jeff Green isn't back, it does end up leaving you a little something extra there to play with. But when you start looking at, I'm kind of mentioning forwards, I think is the space you go to. What are the names out there? Because I think you rightfully so can only look at a certain, you know, price point. You can't be talking about guys that are far and away going to exceed what the Nets are going to want to spend on the free agency market for role players, essentially.
Yeah, so this is where it gets hard because you can't really, in the NBA, you can't go by what they made last season, right? Because that's just not going to be a good comp because players either exceed their value or lose their value, and that's just kind of the nature of it. And sometimes some of these guys have gotten their big paydays and they're clearly never going to happen again. Some are shooting big paydays for the first time. Nets are not going to be in the territory of those guys, so I think we can just exclude that type of player from free agency. There's the mid-level exception guys. Those are guys who are going to be, you know, been around the league for a while. You kind of know what they are. They are usually pretty good at some things, sort of deficient in other areas. You kind of know what you're going to get with them, and they become like sort of like this class of player. I think the Nets are going to be looking in that area and probably trying to find some guys whose value is like depressed that they feel like they can make into like reclamation projects. I think this is the kind of player that you're looking at. And so, because the Nets can't really afford anything else, right? Like, this was the reason that Dinwiddie's walking. They can't afford him anymore. It's like a good thing. They turned him into a really good, he made himself with the Nets' help into a really, really good player. And the money is just too much anymore. The list of unrestricted free agents is really long. We're not going to go through the entire list here. It's like, I don't know, 200 guys deep or something like that. And you can't just be like,
start with one and we'll just work our way through, Doug. Just take it one name at a time.
One, Chris Paul.
We'll wrap up our coverage.
Two, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, exactly. And how feasible do you think Kawhi Leonard is for the Nets to pursue?
Let me throw out a couple of names and of guys who I feel like are one time players are coming off either injury seasons or a couple down years, or the value's really taken a hit, or they just don't kind of know. And I have a list of like 10 or 15 guys. I'm not even going to read this whole list, but do you feel like this is sort of the territory where the Nets are going to go? Like, the Nets are not going to go sign Mike Conley. There's a reason I'm not going to read all the names. They're also not going to sign, I don't know, Chris Chioza, who's at the bottom of this list, because they just let him go. You know what I mean? Like, so there's a list of just dudes, and there's lots of them. I'm trying to just find more of a class of player that the Nets would be trying to find right now, and that to me is veteran, been around the league for a little while, just became a guy that was not either was like, you know, way too expensive, or the other team's in a different phase of their building now and they don't need this kind of player anymore, or another team just couldn't kind of figure it out and unlock the key for making them good. But either way, their value has gone down and the Nets are looking to bring it back up. Like, think of what the Clippers did with Nick Batum. Like this kind of player. Not Nick Batum, actually, because he did it for himself.
Well, by the way, Just what the Nets did with Jeff Green, right? We want to find the Jeff Greens just before he came and played for Brooklyn and elevated his value as a veteran in the league and probably earned himself a bigger payday, right? We want the pre-Brooklyn Nets Jeff Green players. So, yes, I think you're 100% right. Because, again, I refuse to live in the world where Joseph Tsai is just spending literally for every player under the sun. So then you think about, who are we losing? A veteran, reliable player, fills a need, fills a role. Okay. Who's the next veteran that's right on the edge? Maybe we get him on another one-year deal, right? And that guy may be gone the following season. That's what happens once you put together a super team. You look around the league, look what the Lakers are doing, what they've done the last couple of years. You end up swapping out parts on a year-to-year basis because you're always trying to balance the books.
Exactly. And so, right, they're going to want to try. Like, even PJ Tucker feels like not that kind of player, because he's coming off a championship run and kind of teams know what they're getting for him, and he maybe goes for a few bucks extra. Look, would I love if they signed him? Of course. But even like that, I'm not even sure fits. So let me roll a couple names here. Unrestricted free agents this season who have shown flashes of something in the past, but they did not really show it last year, right? And now you're hoping that something can come back for them. So I'll give you a couple guys. One is Otto Porter. Otto Porter, clearly the Nets had a time when they really wanted Otto Porter. It didn't work out. The old Sean Marks always gets his guy. Jokes have gone around about Otto Porter. Made a ton of money. Has been injured forever. Has played okay, but really just not really a track record. He's one guy. I'm going to just list a couple guys and you can comment and pick a guy to comment on. So don't feel like we need to stop with each of these guys, because, again, most of them aren't going to sign. James Johnson, I kind of feel like, is in this territory. Got some minutes with Dallas, can kind of come in and do defensive stuff. Justice Winslow, that was a disaster for the Grizzlies. I think they dreamed big on that. It just hasn't really worked. He's had a ton of injury issues. Across town, Frank Ntilikina, I always say this name wrong. Denzel Valentine from the Bulls. James Ennis coming over from Orlando. Etuan Moore kind of got lost there for the Suns. Mo Harkless, and then Malik Monk did not get a qualifying offer. Each one of these guys, different like parts of the, or David Nwaba is another one. He was mentioned in the Brian Lewis article. Any of those guys kind of stand out to you in terms of, again, I was just trying to make a list of dudes who can do something well, can't do everything well, probably can get them pretty cheap now. And there's a world where you could be like, oh, remember, no one talked about this guy, but he's now the Nets kind of like made him a reclamation product. Does that make sense? Like, how does that list kind of sound to you?
Yeah. No, I think it's about right. You know, it's funny, Nwaba, who was obviously with the Nets for a spell, I wonder if he kind of falls into that Bruce Brownish kind of area, because, you know, I think he's 6'5". The height isn't necessarily there. You're not bringing in length, but you are bringing in defensive acumen, and that's really what you'd have him on there for. Not terrible from beyond the arc. I wonder what his market looks like after a stint in Houston. I wouldn't hate that, but I also don't know if that's a total fit. Honestly, the Otto Porter one isn't terrible. You know, I mean, he's respectable on both ends of the floor. He gives you a little more size. The points are decent and the rebounds are good. And the three-point shooting percentage, is, as well as the free throw shooting, is where you want it to be. So, you know, he I know it's the first one that you listed, but he does kind of meet that formula of reliability, consistency. Now, the injury piece of it maybe kinks it up a little bit, but you'd know what you're getting from him. The ceiling isn't all that high, but the floor is pretty nice for you. And I feel like he would get the same benefit and impact if you put him on a roster with the superstars ahead of him. I wouldn't hate that if the price point is right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, just trying to find these guys. They've been in the league for, you know, Porter's been around for a while, so he's kind of older. But why this list is sort of all over the place in terms of age and skill sets. There's, you know, I'm not just like, look, that wasn't just a list of like 3-and-D guys, right? It was a list of dudes who at one point had some kind of pedigree behind them. That'd be like the Frankie Nicolina class, like high draft pick. Malik Monk was kind of up there too. And they just sort of fell on hard times with their teams. Or you're looking for older veteran players who, you know, got paid once and they're not going to get paid again and might just be looking to win, right? This is where these like boxes, you want to try to put guys in boxes. And so I think those are the boxes the Nets are.
And Nicolina or sorry, Frank across the way there. His offense to me wouldn't be good enough to, you know, that'd be a miss for me. I know you're just putting out these names.
Well, but he's just so defensively sound. Like, he's just a really good defender. So it's like you can throw guys like, this is where Nwaba comes in too. It's like you can throw these defense only dudes into a Net system because they don't, you just don't even catch the ball on offense. Who cares? Go away on offense, right? Like, but if you're there to pick up a lot of defensive slack, like, if you're there to pick up a lot of defensive slack, like, that does make a huge difference. So that's kind of where I threw these guys, like a guy like him in too, because the defense has always been there. Where he ran into problems with the Knicks was when they wanted him to be a point guard also, and he just stunk at that, right? But if you can be an off guard, that can guard the other
teams. Can I offer you up one other name too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, just if you can guard the other guy's best player, to give a guy like Kyrie or Harden some time off at that end, like, there is value there. He would be much more valuable on the defensive end than he was when the Knicks wanted him to be both kind of things, and he clearly can't be that. This is what I'm just saying. Like, if you're looking to just buy low on a guy, what were we gonna say?
No, the other, because this is getting outside of this range a little bit, but I was just, it's the curiosity of, in a very Sean Marks kind of way, he likes to put out offers and see if teams will match, right? A lot of times it's worked out for them. Sometimes Alan Crabb, not so much, right? And you end up paying a bill that you probably didn't anticipate having to pick up. But if Jeff Green was gone, yes, yeah, 100%, right. There's as much as we love Sean Marks, every GM has misses or has errors along the way, and certainly those are a couple of them that we could highlight. But Jared Vanderbilt, who got a qualifying offer from the Minnesota Timberwolves, I saw somewhere 6-7 million, maybe it goes a little bit higher than that. Would that be the kind of player you're mentioning? A lot of these guys in that demographic and category that I think the Nets are most likely to fish in. But are there players like a Vanderbilt that you think Sean Marks would say, hey, here's an offer, I assume your team is going to match it or someone else is going to come in with a better deal, but if the price point is right, yes, we would take you on? Because Vanderbilt, to me, would represent that he'd be the perfect addition to the roster. Again, it would come down to, is he just outside of that price range that the Nets are trying to stay in?
Yeah, what was the qualifying offer? You said $3 million?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if it was reported. There's, you know, plenty of articles about it without the specific numbers, but safe to assume if his market value is somewhere around 6 to 8 million, the qualifying offer is going to be well underneath that. So I could be wrong on this. I'll correct myself later in the week, but somewhere between 3 and 5 million would be a safe number to assume the qualifying offer is going to fall into. So if that's the baseline, is Vanderbilt worth saying, you know, here's 7 million. Do you want to match it, Minnesota? Because if not, we can be happy for Jeff Green when he parts ways with us. And then maybe we even have a little more flexibility around a qualifying offer given to Bruce Brown. An offer being sent to Bruce Brown from someone else and saying, are we going to match that number? What if Bruce Brown gets offered $11 million a year? That's doubtful, but what if he does? Okay, that's too rich for us. Now we can pivot and spend money over here and improve our defense, specifically our defensive team, prove them in another way.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a guy the Nets are going to go. I just think they're going to just end up with this other group of guys, right? I think they're just going to go sort of...
He's just too young.
Yeah, I just don't want to say like dumpster diving, but like they're going to go because that sounds a little pejorative. But I think they're just going to go for this. I think they're just going to have to just go cheap as possible. I don't think they're going to go cheap as possible. Like they're cheap. Obviously, they're going to be ridiculously into the luxury tax. I think any speculative plays at this point need to all come from the very cheap end of the salary scale. And I'm not sure Vanderbilt is more than speculative for what the Nets would need. And I get that he was fine. Like, he picked up a lot of minutes when he actually played a lot with Karl Anthony Towns at times, too, last season. He's a good player. There's a reason that Wolves probably want to keep him in some range. He just doesn't strike me as the guy they're going to go after. But like I said, there's so many guys. This is not, I'm not trying to cop out here on the Nets free agency chance. There are just lots and lots of guys the Nets could end up with. One other thing, just while we're recording, it came in. It looks like in the old, when does free agency start? Because Woj just tweeted out that it looks like Kyle Lowry is going to sign with the Miami Heat. And again, that'd be pretty hard to know unless everyone
answering the question on Twitter of where's the whales, Miami, right?
So it's like it's one of these things where, well, I will say the Lowry thing, we're gonna get into once we see where the chips fall on some of these things. We'll get into this more tomorrow after free agency's over. This will have a spider web effect of going out and saying, or ripple effect, excuse me, of what's gonna happen, because he was a guy that a lot of teams really wanted, and that probably helped Spencer Dinwiddie's market a little bit that's known pretty early. Anyway, there's so much here. The free agency, there's so many avenues this can take. There's so many ways it can go. We are going to be back again on Tuesday breaking it all down. We'll go through the Nets. We'll probably go through some other teams as well. I'm sure not everything will be solved by the time the midnight or the clock strikes midnight or whatever, because it never really ends. But this sort of the nature of free agency. But rest assured, we'll be back again on Tuesday breaking it all down. In the meantime, make sure you rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Hit like or subscribe as we roll through the off season. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
And of course, betting on the Brooklyn Nets does not have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. I had higher hopes for myself when it came to this quote, but hey, you have the right to remain silent, but I want to hear you scream, Detective P.K. Highsmith.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.